Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We've been talking about His presence, how knowing His presence, being able to recognize His presence, is what is both a goal and a result of spending time with Him, so that we can recognize His always present presence. Spending time with Him, cultivating a quiet lifestyle, quickens our senses and develops our supernatural skills and abilities in order to recognize and interact with God's always present presence. That's what omnipotence means, or omnipresent means, is that He's present everywhere, always. So right now, whatever you're doing, He's with you. He's right there with you. And He is spiritually, in your spirit, communicating with you 24/7, all the time, about everything. So a lot of times we say, if I just knew what He was doing, I'd be able to cooperate with Him, or that understanding would give me a peace and rest. In your spirit, you do know, and you do understand. So the problem is not between, it's not that you don't know. It's not that you don't understand. It's not that you are at odds with Him in any way, shape, or form. The problem is that's all taking place in your spirit, and not necessarily in your soul. But there's no reason to wait. There's no reason to put off till some other time that oneness with Him, that peace and rest and joy you're experiencing in your spirit, you can also enjoy in your soul and your body now here on this earth. It's a challenge. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy, because we have to depend on Him. And we like to have things under our control. How often do we hear that it's so important to know what God's doing so we can be ready, we can prepare, we can know which is from God and what isn't? But that's not what He does. He wants you to know Him so that He can make you prepared, not so that you can make yourself prepared. When we try to get ready, we'll miss it, and we will draw wrong conclusions. When we have an expectation that, for instance, in this day and age, God is doing a certain thing, and when that certain thing doesn't happen, we conclude that we didn't pray hard enough, or God deceived us, or we were deceived, rather than we started out with the wrong premise. So we want to allow God to reveal what He's doing when He wants us to know. And in a majority of times, He's not going to tell us what He's going to do. because we will try to prepare our own way. When we look at the example of when Jesus came, people were told that the Messiah would do certain things, would restore the nation of Israel, would kick the Romans out of the land. That was their expectation for the next Messiah. And there were many Messiahs. They weren't really expecting one. King David was a Messiah. Basically, a Messiah or a Savior was just simply someone God sent to right the wrongs for his people and restoring the kingdom was making restoring Israel to be the nation, God's nation on this earth. So it was not what we consider to be all about changing the nature. That was God's idea. That was not what people were all expecting. They weren't expecting what we look back. This very often is the case. We look back and say, well, you know, how could people have missed what God was planning on doing? It's so clear to us. But when we look forward, we are drawing conclusions about what God is doing that are likely wrong. So rather than trying to figure out what he's doing and then getting on board, God wants to make himself known to you personally through his presence, his daily presence. Increase your awareness and just trust that every minute of every day he is preparing you. He's making you ready for what is going to be coming in your life. He's got everything under control. He's created every circumstance. Things are not going to hell in a handbasket. They're all under his control. So the most and the best you can do is be on track, be connected to him, with him, in the terms and on the grounds that he wants you connected to him. In other words, are you doing what you should be doing? The only way to know is to ask God. Are you believing what you should be believing? The only way to know is to ask God. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's not about what suits your temperament or your history or your idea of your own beliefs and doctrines. It's asking him. Is God alive or is he gone away somewhere and left us to follow a book, to read out of history, which we have such a limited access to? No, it's all about knowing him. So we've talked about that God's personal presence within us creates desire. We want to know him more. God gives us a thirst and a desire to know him more and more once we've tasted him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to experience him. That's the desire. Not for more knowledge, not for understanding, not even to meet our needs, because our needs have already been met. We become more and more willing to deal with everything that obstructs us from entering into that dependent relationship. Any desire that comes, that we experience, any desire to know him, we know comes from him. So we know that it will be fulfilled. Satan doesn't want you to know God. Your soul doesn't want you to know God because that it's going to give up its own control. Your flesh doesn't. The world system doesn't want you to know God. Because again, they are enemies. But they've been overcome. Only your flesh hasn't been overcome. That's something we have to work out by depending on God. That's what he's left for us to do. But the world system and Satan have already been conquered in Christ when he was here. But once you've experienced the peace and the freedom, not just by his experiences, but by his changing us, we want more. It's not his making himself known is not so we can just make it through and hold on. You know, that it's just not a taste of things to come. It's a stirring up. His presence stirs up our desire to know him now. So any desire to know him comes from him. So we know it will not be denied by him. He will make a way for that desire to be fulfilled and for his presence to become reality for us. We are to live in him, live and move and have our being in the spirit realm while we are still here on this earth. Right now, we are fairly unfamiliar with the spirit realm. We are mostly living in the natural, occasionally in the soulical realms. But neither one of those is your home, is your habitation. As you become more and more familiar and comfortable with the spiritual realm, a switch will occur. You'll become much more comfortable in the spirit, and what is familiar to you now will become foreign. This will become a strange land because you will learn how to live out of your identity in the spirit realm. Now, to get there, God's personal presence will become a lifestyle. God himself is looking for a home to dwell in, not just a place to visit. We go and visit his house. We say we're going to God's house. You know, the church is God's house. That's not his idea. You know, that's why there's no longer a tabernacle or a temple for Christians. And that's why Jesus said, you are the temple. Because God dwells within you. You want to visit God? He's within you. But he's always in you. There are times when, as he reveals himself, he fills us, spirit, soul, and body. We get glimpses, but he wants to make us his permanent habitation in our soul and our body. It's already the case in your spirit, but he wants to fill you to the uttermost. How often do we want to see him move on the earth, and yet he's hardly has any room to move in us. We have all our restrictions on him. We have the demands on our time. We put up roadblocks in our mind, by our beliefs, in our need for control. He just says, give it up. Come with me. He has the joy and the rest that we're yearning for. The more our lives are transformed into a home, a habitation for God, some place for him to rest his head, which is his authority, the more we will enjoy his eternal life on a moment-by-moment basis. God hasn't come to take part in your life. He hasn't come to help or to give you what you need to make it through. He's come to take over your life, to bring every enemy into submission, including your flesh. Now, during this lifetime, moment by moment, remember, eternal life is not related to time. It's not something you will receive when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life is not more of this life. It's not time related. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. Eternal life is God's life. It's knowing God. When you know him, when you become a Christian, you receive all the eternal life you're ever going to get. Right now, you are experiencing all the eternal life you're ever going to get. Are you satisfied with that? Because remember, it's all in your spirit. If you're not happy, if you're not in satisfied with, think of living the way you're living right now, forever and ever for the next bazillion years. Now remember, eternal life isn't related to time, but this gives us an idea of what we're thinking. Is there an area in your life where, you know, oh, I'm willing to put up with this for this lifetime, but not beyond that? You know, that we're all counting on all our problems being fixed when we die and go to heaven. What if that's not true? What if that's not God's goal? What if that's something we've made up? What if instead God just has more challenges for us? That until we learn to live as his sons, we do not experience the kingdom. He just has something else planned for us so that we learn. Because until we are able to live as his sons, we cannot receive everything he wants to give us. And since that's his goal, to make us receivers, so he can be the God and give, when we realize that, we start looking at areas in our life where we're not satisfied and recognize that those areas are exactly where God wants to meet you. That dissatisfaction comes from him. He's showing you your need, your emptiness, so that he can pour himself into it. Where you're satisfied, you don't need him. You have no lack. Now, that can be because he's already filled that area, or because that's just not what he's revealed. He's not shown you this is an area of issue yet. He will, but not yet. Focus on those areas that God is showing you. This is an area you're not willing to live with for the next million years. if nothing changed in this area, that'd be tough. You wouldn't want to live that way. Well, you don't. That's God's thirst. Point that thirst towards God. God, I want you to satisfy the thirst. I'm not going to try to satisfy it myself. My desire to understand what's going on, I'm not going to try to satisfy that with my own understanding, my own skills, hearing what other people are saying, what's coming. That's not what's important. God, what do you have for me? What do I need to know? What do I need to be doing? What wound needs to be healed? Let him teach and train you. He knows what he has in store for you. It's for your good. You will be prepared. God's personal presence is present. God doesn't want us to put off until later a relationship with him, with God, right now. Eternal life is knowing him by experience. It's not something that someday we will receive. We see him face to face now in our spirit. And his desire is that we would be one in him, in our soul and body as well. Knowing him now is our great, abundant, and exceeding reward. Anything that comes later is icing on the cake. Don't put off till even tomorrow the present relationship, the knowledge of his presence that he has made available for you now. I had a friend way back that was in the Navy, and he and his friends were all on a battleship during the Persian Gulf War, a destroyer rather. And they had been out on a six-month tour and were coming back and were going to have a dry dock. The ship was going into dry dock. So they had all made plans for that time when they would not be going out to sea. My friend was pregnant, my neighbor, and her husband was on the ship and was planning on coming back and would be there for 2 years. So they'd have a good start for raising their child. And this is the way they'd arranged it. And one of his best friends was planning on getting married within weeks of their return. And everything, of course, was all arranged and all excited, and everyone was excited. Well, it turns out when they got back, they were all released from their duty to take a break. Well, it turns out that the ship that was being sent out to take their place wasn't battle ready. They weren't able to send it into harm's way. And so that ship turned around, and they had to resend my friend's ship. And of course, obviously, all their plans were put on hold. My friend's best friend decided, rather than putting it off on hold, all their friends, some from out of the country, would be there on the date of that they had planned on getting married. And they ended up following through with their marriage ceremony. He on the ship and she in the chapel with a stand-in, all their friends and family there over the speakerphone. They got married the day they planned on it. They went through the motions. They went through the oath. They went through with everything that they had planned, except he wasn't there. It wasn't until he returned that they could begin to truly live their planned married life. And this is unfortunately what we do as well. We go through the commitment and the outward appearances, the outward actions, activities of being in relationship with God. We have a checklist. Okay, we go to church. We have fellowship. We wear the right clothes. We say the right things. We sing the right things. We try to change our behaviors. And we have encounters with God. But we have a date in the future that we think is when we will consummate our relationship with God. That's not his intent for us. He is not afar off. He is in you now. You are in him now. In your spirit, you have already fulfilled every aspect of that relationship. So we don't put it off till some other time. Everything that you need for a full relationship with him is available to you now in your spirit. His presence is available. And the biggest obstacle is believing that. You are an overcomer. You are a joint heir. You are a co-inheritor. Not a lesser inheritor. Not a lesser joint heir. Not a lesser heir. You are an equal heir. An unequal inheritor. Everything that Jesus has received, you have received now. And it's now because that includes authority over time. So, beginning to experience his personal presence now gives us confidence. Knowing God is being in a unique, intimate relationship with him now. Because it is his idea, he is doing the drawing. And it is a drawing into his home, into his place of existence, his place of abode. This is where he abides. We go there. He draws us into his kingdom, his rest, our home. So we can relax and let him do the driving. He knows how he's made us, how he's formed us, how he created us. He knows your questions, your doubts, your strengths and weaknesses. So he long ago decided how he would reveal himself to us on an individual basis. This is his job. We refer to Christianity as having a personal relationship with a personal Savior, right? Well, there is a roadmap showing a fairly straightforward highway that takes us from where we are now into an intimate relationship with God where he is now. It is the side roads, the distractions along the way that divert us from the way. Jesus says, come. He doesn't say, read. He doesn't say, know. He doesn't say, understand. He says, come. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll get together again 9 o'clock on Saturday. Until then, have a great rest of the week and have a great day today.